Thank you. Phil, am I on? Thank you. Right on. Oh, I like that one. Thank you. Keep them going. I'm over for compliments this morning. A couple of notes that we've received. First of all, this one is from Change Your World. Dear family, it was lovely to visit again and share the progress being made in sharing what's being made and done in our work. We appreciate very much your ongoing support and say a heartfelt thank you for all that you do for Change Your World. Blessings in abundance to each of you. Sincerely, Linda and Carol. Yeah, and then we got a lovely one from, we had the Teen Challenge. Thank you so much for allowing the Teen Challenge Women's Center the time to share with you at your service. The women were so blessed by everyone's kindness, compassion, and generosity. We pray many were encouraged through the testimony shared. We are so grateful for people in churches like you. With blessings, Julie Bowman. So there you go. And I think we have another one. Do we not, Donna? Another thank you note? Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. And I see we've still got the shoe tree. We can fill it up next year.
No. We're going to use it in October and November for hats, mitts.
Speaking of the food bank, would you pray for them? Somebody apparently phoned in and said they wanted the lift inspected. It was somebody trying to do a mean thing to the food bank. Inspector came in crying. He says, "We don't normally check this, but we have to. And you don't have a proper lift, we've got to shut it down." So it means now all the food that comes in, like Thursday, they got 7,000 pounds of food. They have to hand bomb it down to the basement, and they have to hand bomb it back upstairs. And so they're trying to figure out what to do, because the lift is not considered an elevator. You know how that works? So if you could just pray. The leadership team are meeting this week and trying to figure out what to do, because most of the folks are over 70, and you know, be carrying cases of soup and everything is just—it's almost impossible. So, that was a heartfelt thing on Thursday when we found the news. So, again, pray for them. All right, let's look ahead to a new week. Have you got your calendars? Today it's 1st of September. Where did the summer go? You remember that song from Man of Green Gables? Why ain't it always summer? I could sleep late. None of you. That was before your time. Yeah. Okay, Mom. Okay. First of all, let's wish people a happy birthday. Bob, a happy birthday to you for the 4th. It's a pleasure to share that day with you for our birthday. What are we going to do? Have we decided yet?
No.
No. Okay. Let's talk after church, shall we? And Riam also has a birthday on the 4th. And Lena Harrison in the Creemore Nursing Home has her birthday. So you can think of Lena, give her a call. And Susan, a happy birthday to you. Congratulations on another year. Older. Yes. Wiser. And then Dave and Edith up in Elliott Lake, we want to wish them a happy anniversary. Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. Where are we going? McDonald's. Yeah, I'll have that double cheeseburger special. Okay, get your pens out. Yeah, calling a happy anniversary for next Sunday. You're the man. How many years is it, Colin? 68 years. Oh, that's scary. Oh. 68. Yeah, that's true. It's longer than I've been around. Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Makes me feel better. Okay, a couple of things we need you to write down. Upcoming events. Truth Group is going to be on Tuesday, September the 10th. And it's for ladies and gentlemen. And so men, you're more than welcome. Again, that group talks about things like depression and dealing with stress. And I know it's been a tremendous program last year. So that's going to resume on the 10th of September. Also, please write down in your calendar, Friday, September the 20th is our next seniors conference. It's going to be here again at the church. And we have some very special presenters coming in talking about downsizing and meals for one and other issues relative to home living for seniors. So we want to get the word out. I believe we have advertising. We will make sure you get them, take them, and put them around in the stores in the area, if you wouldn't mind again. And so that's our third one of the year coming up on the 20th of September. Also, and the other thing too is I appreciate everybody who takes our garbage things out to the curb Sunday after church. If you're coming into the church and you see the green bins or the blue bins or the gray bins, can you bring them into the church? Otherwise, they just are at the side of the church and rain and everything. So if you wouldn't mind, just little things like that. And I think we'll keep things just current. Other note, you might want to mark this down. Many of you know the Simerson family, and Rob and Gail, and the girls all grew up in our church, and of course they're now in Airdrie, Alberta. Julie Simerson had just got engaged, and so she's going to be getting married on the Thanksgiving weekend in Dundas. So she's met a nice fella, and so she's pretty excited, and I think when we came to the church, we first started, Julie was two. I don't know about you, but it's the kids that make me feel old. I feel quite young until I look at them. But anyway, so we want to wish her a very happy engagement. Okay, a couple of things now for this week. Tuesday, men. Richard, give us an update for all the fellows. We're starting into a great season for the men. So that will be this Thursday, ladies, coffee time at Tim Hortons. And then Thursday night, our discussion night. If you haven't been out all summer, oh, you need to get back. We are having a blast. 7:30 every Thursday night here. And then, of course, don't forget prayer at the church at 7:30 on Saturday. Choir, just a reminder, we're back into full swing on Sunday mornings for practicing. Okay. Next Sunday is our church anniversary. And so there's two things we need to be aware of. First of all, we're going to be having a special catered luncheon. So if you did not confirm that you are going to be here or not be here, you need to let me know or let Linda know before the service is over if you'll be able to come, because we have to give the caterer specific numbers today. All right? And fellas, you are on for desserts for next Sunday. I see six of you have already signed up. I'll pass that around. And so, fellas, if you would just sign that up. So the main part of the dinner is provided, desserts. And there'll be a cake. Yes. Yeah, we always have a cake. Did everybody get copies of the Daily Bread devotional booklet? Anybody did not get copies? Okay. Chabo, can you come and hand these out for me, please, buddy? Okay, if you need a Daily Bread devotional book, just keep your hand up. Okay. And the other thing is, I know many of you are reading my mother's book. This is the first one, His Singing Seven, Story of Our Life, and then the second book is also in circulation. So if anybody would like a copy, I have two copies here this morning. I'll leave them on the front chair. Come up and get those after the service. All right. Is there anything financially, any update? Nothing? Any of our committees? I do believe our social committee is meeting at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. Is that correct? At 9 o'clock? Thank you, Vivian. Social committee at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Any other updates from committees? All right. How many of you are looking forward to starting school on Tuesday? Tell me, why are you looking forward to starting school on Tuesday?
So I can spend time with my friends, yeah.
Spend time with your friends?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the work or what you're going to learn?
No.
No, it's okay. Just checking. It's all about the social activity. Okay, well, thanks, Chabo. That's good to know. Do you like recess, too? No, you don't have that anymore, do you? Do you like lunch?
Yeah.
Lunch. Yeah, lunch. Okay. All right. Is there anything else we need to update on? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for a time together in this place, and Father, it's been a busy week, and so we thank you for the opportunity to come into this place together to worship you, to praise your name, to thank you for who you are and what you are. And as we start into a new month, into a new season, Lord, we need your wisdom. We need direction. We need to have a great understanding of your plans and purposes, for the world is living in great fear. Father, there's fear of hurricanes, and there's fear of war, and there's fear of economic situations in so many areas. Lord, remind us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so as we praise you today, as our team leads us in worship, Lord, may our thoughts be focused on who you are and what you are. In your name we pray. Amen. He's 40. Yeah, he's 40. So by the time he gets out, he'll be 50. Oh, no. So let's pray for this family. Father, we just thank you for their ministry to us for these last couple of years. And Father, we have been excited to watch this family grow in so many ways and impact in so many different areas of life. And for Christina and Tonga, as they move with all the expectations and trepidations and uncertainties, they know that they're going with you and you go before them. This is a big challenge, and school is never easy. And we pray that Tonga will be able to embrace it, and that in all of the aspect of the school, that he'll just feel that he's right in the center of your will. Right. Christina, with the children and all that will be taking place with the move to Peterborough, Lord, give her wisdom. Give her a great sense of understanding. And give this family support in Peterborough. Mm. May Christians rally around them. And on one hand, we're very sad that they're going to be leaving us. We're looking forward to all the times they'll be able to return for a visit. But, Lord, we know that you've got them preparing for a higher calling and for purposes that are going to carry them well into the next decades. Mm. And so, Lord, bless each one, each of these young people as well, as they continue to grow with their mom and dad. Mm. And we thank you now for them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John.
You're welcome, buddy. Father, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to be together and to just take time and, first of all, thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, it thrills my heart to see people progressing in so many different ways, whether it's playing golf or driving in their cars or going to visit friends or having a holiday or having grandchildren come or children come or just all the events that make life so special. And Father, thank you for a marvelous summer. The sunshine, the sunsets, the beauty of this summer season has been just phenomenal in this part of the area. And so, Lord, as we head into the fall with all our young people heading back to school, we pray for them. We ask you to protect their minds because they're going to be absorbing many ideas. Some of them are going to be directly related to your plans and purposes, and others might have subtle things that would pull them away. And so, Father, help them to keep focused ultimately on what you're doing in their lives, no matter what their age. And we pray for all our teachers that are going back as well, Lord, that you would help them and give them wisdom as they work with their students. Father, I want to thank you for miracles for this summer. Thank you for the way you've touched Grace, and we pray your continued touch upon Bernice and upon Marg and others that continue to need special help from you. We pray for Cater this day, that you would be very close to him. And we pray for Cavell as she has this laser surgery this week. We pray for answers for Marg with regard to her knee. We pray for Heather's daughter or nephew's wife Debbie in this heart surgery. Sheila's daughter as she comes up, as Tong and Christina make the move to Peterborough. For Robert's ongoing relationship and conversation with people. For Evie and for the great visit she had with us while in Canada. And Lord, all the necessary parts of our lives that we take for granted. We have to go places this week. For some, it will be doctor's appointments or different services that are needed. For others, it will be interactions with family members or situations that they're very concerned about. Give each one of us great peace. As you go before us each day, remind us that you lead and we are to follow. Give us a sense of heart in all that we do of speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Father, for the things that we have said and done and thought that did not have your approval, that were sin, we again are sorry this day. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your cleansing power. We ask that you would help us to be all that you want us to be, because the world is watching. The world needs you, and they're going to see that for many of us, we are the world's Bible. And so, Lord, this is a new month. We are heading into a new season. We pray for all those in stress around the world, Christians who are being persecuted even this day, those that are anticipating issues of nature. There's a lot of fear, a lot of worry. And so, Lord, may your peace be upon this entire world as you continue to remind us that you're in charge of everything on heaven and on earth. And so, Lord, thank you for blessing, for guiding, and all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Tonga. Thank you, team. Now, we have not done handouts for a while. We have had inserts in the calendars for you, but I felt you need to have a copy of today's sermon. So I have taken the liberty of delegating that to the production team of the church, starting with my wife and then our secretary and her lovely assistant, Vanna, here. So they're going to hand out a copy of the sermon notes. I'd like you to take a copy. This is a serious topic I want to cover today. We have been talking for the last few weeks about trials and tribulations and suffering. And we know in the Bible, John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trials, tribulations, sufferings, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it and deprived it of power to what? Harm you. Right? Now, we have looked at different aspects of these trials. So over the past weeks, we have been discussing ones like this. As a Christ follower, we're going to be attacked because we bear his name. The world will hate us. The second thing is that we're also having trials because this world is a fallen world. There will be disease. We are going to die. Yesterday afternoon, I went over to the Woodland Cemetery in Burlington, and I looked at the gravestones of my parents, both sets of my grandparents, and my aunts. While I was there, there was another lady tending a gravestone just two away from my parents. Yesterday would have been her 49th wedding anniversary with her husband. He was a teacher at Sheridan, a professor. He dropped dead in a classroom a year ago. She was grieving deeply that day. And so I had a chance to chat with her and in the midst of that deal with my own grief. We are in a fallen world. People die. People we love have gone off the scene. The other part of trials is trials of faith. We talked two weeks ago about not let anybody deceive you and take away what you believe. And how subtle is that today? People are trying to tell you there is no God, etc. We also talked about trials due to exhaustion and how is the water in your goggles doing? Those of you that were here last Sunday have maybe still water in your goggles. Colin asked for prayer, and so we went over to pray with him, and the first thing he said to me, he says, Pastor, I have water in my goggles. I said, bless your heart. Let's start praying and let's see if the Lord doesn't empty that water, because life is exhausting. It's hard to see clearly in the midst of all the trials we're going through. Today I want to talk about a trial that is even more subtle than all these other trials. And so let me set the stage, and you'll have in front of you several verses. First is Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, please circle that you present what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice, a dead sacrifice? No, a living sacrifice. Now here's the next word, holy and acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. So this has to do with our response to the God of the universe, who is now our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is right, good, and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So Paul is laying out the scenario for how to counter a trial that is going to affect what? Our minds. Here's the second verse. It's from 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Please circle the word in. When Jesus came into your life, where is he? He's in you. Can you kick him out? No. Greater is he that is in me, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world, greater than Satan. So Jesus is in there. He's in our life for life. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We're temples of the Most High God. And sometimes we forget that. And then Peter also adds to this scenario, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from lustful flesh which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, what did we say earlier? We're going to have trials because we bear the name Christian. When the non-Christians come against you, they may be, by your good works which they observe, ultimately glorify God in the day of visitation. So what we have here is that in all that we're doing, we are still being seen by the world, right? The world is watching us, whether we realize it or not. Ultimately, I think they would love to ridicule us because they can't stand Christianity. But ultimately, when they look at this, they're going to glorify God in heaven when they see our lives. And finally, Paul says to the church in Corinth, you were bought at a price or with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So glorify God with your bodies. So here's the question. You have probably seen this, and I have had to deal with this. A number of Christians who seem to have ongoing issues that don't ever seem to be changed or corrected. There's a constant onslaught. There is a constant internal turmoil. They would always say to you and I that they know Jesus died for their sins. They know that He forgave them. He's cleansed their hearts and minds. They also know that He's given them the power to do what? Say no to sin. You and I all have the power to say no to sin. We also can still say yes to sin, can't we? Because we have a free will. But we ultimately have the power to say no to sin. And isn't that what we have in Romans 8? You might want to write this down and read it later. Romans 8, 14 to 25. Remember what Paul says? The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't do. Who's going to save me out of this misery? Oh, thanks be to God through Jesus who gives me the power to actually do what He wants me to do. And if we do what He wants us to do, we are out of deep doo-doo, right? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. And so Paul says, you have it in Christ Jesus, the power to actually say no to sin if you want to say no to sin. So here's the question. Can it be that Christians who are having ongoing internal conflict have stopped focusing on what they have in Christ and instead have gone back to what? What they used to be. The scripture talks about a dog returning to its vomit. How many times have we seen Christians who've come out of certain situations go back to the dysfunction because it's what they know? Well, I was in that for so many years. Sometimes the biggest pull is to go back to things that we know are not what are pleasing to God, but we go back to them because we know them. Time and time again, back to bad relationships, bad habits, things like that. So here's the question. What I'm seeing, and maybe what you're seeing, Christ followers who seem to purposely be saying yes to sin because they what? They don't want to say no to it. Are you with me? If we're not saying no to something, ultimately we're going to say yes to it. I remember one time I was talking with a fella, and he was skating the edge. He was doing some things that I was very concerned about. And I said to him, you're really skating the edge with some of these ideas. You know what he said to me? Oh, it's okay, John. I'm just looking. I'm just looking. Huh. For a man, that's dangerous because most men make their decisions based on what they look at. A woman, 9 times out of 10, makes a decision based on how she feels or how she senses something. But for a guy, it's a lot through his eyes. So here's the situation, and what amazes me is what you and I are seeing in terms of trials today are not new at all. 2,000 years ago, here's what James was dealing with, and this is the church. Now, James is whose brother? Jesus. The book of James is considered the first letter to have been written to Christians about 48 AD. So about 15 years after the ascension of his brother into heaven, he's writing the letter of James. And we could say others like Peter and some of, maybe some of Paul's letters were about the same time. Most of Paul's letters were in the 50s, late 50s. But we know that James was writing about 48 AD. And he's writing to Christians 15 years after Jesus left the earth. And this is what he said. Where do wars and fights come from among the heathen? The unbelievers. The who? The believers. These are the believers in the church. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Now, who's he talking to again? The Christians, who in their own generation have seen Jesus face to face, walked with Jesus, and for many of them, because we know from scholars that basically one in four Israelites had either a healing moment from Jesus or they had a feeding moment from Jesus. So one in four actually had a direct interaction from Jesus, just judging by the numbers of miracles that are written in Scripture. So less than 15 years after, here's what James is saying. You do not have because you do not ask. But when you ask, you do not receive because you, what's the next line? You ask amiss that you might spend it on your spiritual maturity. What level is James addressing? The horizontal, worldly level that these men and women and young people have said, well, we've given over, now we follow Jesus Christ. And he said, well, yeah, if you have, then let's look at how you're living. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you see that even the Greek has an exclamation mark there? So keep that in mind. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? In other words, you cannot have play in the world, in its system, and still be what? In close relationship with God. It isn't going to happen. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Is God become an enemy of us, or do we make ourselves an enemy of God? See the difference? God doesn't say, oh, you dirty, rotten skunk. We say, God, I don't want anything to do with you. So we push him away if we choose what? To play the world's games. So let's move on. Do you think, the scripture says, in vain the Spirit dwells in us, yearns jealously? So what's he saying? The Spirit of God in the midst of all we're doing is doing what inside of us? Churning up, because if it's not what God is honoring to God, the Holy Spirit, his role is to convict us of sin and save us from sin-induced trials. God does not want us to be having a tug of war mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because we already have the power to say no to all that. Are you with me? Let's move on to the last part. He says, God resists the proud because he gives more grace, and he will give grace to the humble. So let's look at what I consider to be the two main issues that are at the basis of sin-induced trials. Two lusts, and we've seen them in the scripture here. Let's point them out again. First of all, what we have is Paul's words to Timothy. So let's, again, when you're looking at scripture, I do believe scripture will answer every question you have and give you even answers you don't want. With me? So here's the first one. We'll see it in 1 Timothy 6. Paul says to Timothy, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain that we carry nothing out. Remember I told you the other week about the guy that got buried in his Cadillac? Yeah, well, he didn't take it out. He just took it down. I was one of the sites I was at when I was walking through the cemetery yesterday was this huge structure. It had a sitting room. It had chairs. It had curtains. It had flower vases. I couldn't get in because the door was locked. And of course, the one fellow had been buried there, and the other area was for his wife. And it was probably like a house. But he couldn't take any of it with him. His body was there, and he didn't take anything with him. All his funds and resources and everything, we don't know where they are, but they weren't up there. We can take nothing out. Having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, let's read verse 10 carefully. For the... doesn't say, for the money is a root of all evil. Are you with me? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some, Christ followers, it's not talking about non-believers, have strayed from faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So what's the first kind of sin-induced trial that Paul talking about here in this one? What is it? Okay, tell me, somebody tell me what the love of money means. What does that mean? It's all you're thinking about. What else?
Never enough.
Never enough. What else? Have a little more. What'd you say? Putting it ahead of God. Okay, what else? Valuing it as to give security. The other reality is, when you look at the love of money, it precludes any relationship. I'll do whatever I have to do to get the money. 2 weeks ago, the 11th richest man just died in the earth. Will you tell me why he didn't take that money? He would have fed the entire world. What was he saving it for? What was his love that so captured him? Okay, these are the questions. You and I may not really have to deal with this, but all of us are tempted by a love of money. Oh, if I could just have more. Never enough. Oh, you know, if I just bought some more lottery tickets. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who've had family members doctor the will so they got the money and the other people didn't. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And these are Christian people. The love of money. Mark. No. No. No care for anybody.
All he cares about is when people come to give him his money and he leaves.
So it's all about a profit. You give me your money. Give me your money. I mean, W5 had a thing on the Church of Christ out of the Philippines. Did you see that last Sunday? Bags of money, duffel bags of money, going down to Toronto, going down to the States, and going on planes to the Philippines. The love of money absolutely captivates and mesmerizes people to the exclusion of everything else. Paul says, flee from these things. Now, does he say, close your bank account, put your money in an old sock under the bed? No, he's not saying that. He's saying be careful of where your focus is, because if God does not stay as your focus, what's going to happen? You become an enemy to God. And he said, and many have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Sin-induced trials. You with me? Okay, let's move on to the second one. Now, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. And here's the second, what I call sin-induced trial. It said, it's reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. Paul's saying, you, the Messianic Jews, in your synagogues, and you have come through the law, you have come through the freedom in Jesus Christ, there is sexual immorality going on that is not even named by the non-Christians. The non-Christians aren't even doing what you're doing. And so he says later on to the Corinthian church in chapter 6, flee sexual immorality. And then he gives an explanation. Every sin that a man does is where? Outside his body. So if we decide to lie or cheat or steal, is that internal or external? It's external. So we're doing things outside the body. So here's where the complication comes into play. He who commits sexual immorality sins against what? His own body. Because his own body is involved in the act of immorality. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? In you. So therefore, when you are doing things that are sexually immoral with your body, Who's with you while you're doing it? The Holy Spirit and the God, the triune God, with whom you have from God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's in essence saying, Jesus, I'm about to have sexual intercourse with so-and-so. Think about it. When it comes to sexual immorality, where does Jesus go? Now, I used to think I could leave him in the lobby. And I told you, years ago, when I was just a young man, I wanted to see a restricted movie, and in those days, restricted was really ho-ho. And I got my dad's car, and I went up to the north end of Etobicoke, and I went into a movie theater where I knew there was nobody going to be. And I, in essence, said, Jesus, I'm going to be going in to watch this movie. You just wait in the lobby. I'll pick you up in 2 hours. That's what I felt. Jesus, you just wait out in the lobby. I'll pick you up in 2 hours. Of course, I sat in that movie, and I went, I thought, oh, okay, well, I've seen it. And then the thing was, who am I going to tell I saw? Nobody. I mean, how many of you want to, you know what, I just had some sexual immoral situations this week. I just want to tell you about it. And then to top it off, God didn't say anything. I'm walking out, and there's a guy from high school that hated my guts because I was a Christian. He's first one in the line for the next showing. I should have walked up to Gord and say, hey, Gord, you're really going to like the sex in this movie. This is first class. You know what I did? Oh, God, oh, this is bad news. Fortunately, Gord turned around to talk to his girlfriend who was standing behind him. I've never run out of a movie theater so fast in all my life. So I got back to the lobby, I picked Jesus up, and we went home. So my dad says, well, where were you? Well, I was out in a movie. He says, oh, what'd you see? Oh, just a movie up north. I said, you enjoyed the movie? Yeah. That's good. I think my dad knew. But boy, did I ever have a revelation driving home in that car. I realized I didn't leave Jesus out in the lobby. Jesus watched the movie with me. He watched the movie with me. What do we have here? You were bought with a price. I've had Christians sit in my office, so-called strong Christians. And they've told me, John, I'm this great guy. I'm this loving father. I do these loving things. I'm a strong businessman. I do these things. Now, I do these things sexually over here, but that's not really me. I'm really this person right here. I'm this guy. And I said to them, when do you compartmentalize your life? You're all of it. And if you're doing those things with that woman and you're saying you've got a loving relationship and you're married to this woman, something's not adding up. I had a minister sit in my office 24 hours before he had an affair with a lady in his congregation. John, I really don't think it's wrong to want to help people and, you know, and show them that they're loved. Besides, this particular woman in my church, her husband went into homosexuality. She has nobody now. I just want to tell her that she's loved and cared for. 24 hours, he'd had an affair with a woman. 48 hours, his church found out. But he's a great guy. Great pastor. What about this one? I got this one. Well, Dr. John, I know that I'm not going with the biblical picture that God wants marriage to be one man and one woman, but I really like what I'm doing. And besides, we're consenting adults. I mean, there's no other people involved. It's just us. And we're not hurting anybody. And besides, it's great. I really enjoy it. Well, yeah, haven't you ever found sins enjoyable? Has Satan ever done anything that's not enjoyable? He's got lights flashing, and why do you think Vegas is so attractive? Because everything looks so attractive before you even get there. And I'm not putting down Las Vegas as a place, but when it comes to things that are immoral, Satan's not going to make them look dreary, terrible. Of course, we haven't heard any of the latest statistics. Like now they've got sexually transmitted diseases now that have no known cures. Have you heard of that lately? Nothing is on the news about all that. We've got rampant disease going on right now that they figure we'll never, ever be able to have a vaccine against it. And nobody talks about that because it's all about sexual freedom, sexual immorality. So I've had people say to me, well, you know what? I know Jesus is in my heart, but I'm choosing to take these things. And I say the same things when it comes to substances. Okay, well, why don't you say, Jesus, let's you and I have this cigarette together. I'm sure he'd like some nicotine with you. Well, Jesus, I'd like to just take a little shot in the arm. You know, you just hang around and let's get high together. So here's the issue. If a Christ follower still fights over God's holy plan for their life, what do you think is going to happen then? Do you think God will just let it keep going and perpetuate? And I know there are Christians that absolutely believe, well, if I just go to confession every Sunday, or if I just go to church and just say I'm sorry, I can keep doing the things because, you know, God forgives me. He's a merciful God. Do you think that maybe God's going to give them over to their own thoughts and rationalizations? I get that out of Romans 1, 28-30. Look at this with me. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what's that mean? God in their brain. Didn't want to keep thinking about God in their brain. They rationalized away. God gave them what? Over to what? A debased mind. In other words, God said, fine. You don't want to follow me. You want to play fast and free with my role and the fact that my son's in your life. Then I'm going to give you over to what? You go ahead and think whatever you want. To do things which are not fitting. They're filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of all evil things, and disobedient to parents. So what's God saying? I'm going to wipe you out? No. He's saying, if when you know the truth, you still want to go against the truth and the things that I've outlined for your good, I'm going to what? If you really want those things, go ahead and have those things. And the result is going to be what? What do you see in that list? Everything that is debasing. Do you see anything in that list that's pure? Good report? Whatsoever things are pure, good report, think on these things. Do you see anything there that's drawing people closer to God? And yet I've had so many Christians come into my office and go, I feel so far away from God. I feel like God's not listening to me. The first thing I say to them often is, what are you doing? Well, what do you mean? Well, I don't think God just doesn't talk to us. What do you think the reason is why God is not talking to you? They're not talking to him, and they're not listening, and they're playing sin-induced games, and God said, fine, you want that? You got it. You with me?
Yep.
So, I think it's time for some critical spiritual self-examination. So you see that on your sheets? We're heading into the fall. Fresh start. And you can say, oh, Pastor, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing pretty well. Well, okay, let's just all evaluate. And you know what? This is not about competition. I'm looking at my life as much as you're looking at your life. I don't know about you, but how long does it take for a sinful thought to hit our brain? 2 seconds. And what have we said? 2 seconds for faith or fear? I don't know about you. Statistically, fellas, you're going to appreciate this. A man has a sexual thought every 17 seconds. That's tough temptation, isn't it? That's a tough trial. Well, Norm, I think it all depends where we are and what we're seeing. But the reality is we're being hit by all these things all the time. You deserve a break today. Love of money. Why are you still in this marriage? Dump this gal and you could have a nice young thing like so-and-so has. He's sitting at the other side of his church with his arm around her, 30 years or junior. Oh, yeah, you could have that. I mean, temptation's all around us, isn't it? So here's the time for examination. Here's where we're at. Am I in activities or wrestling things that I know have a sin basis? We've got to start with that. Am I actually dealing with stuff that I know is not what God wants? Because if we know what God wants, our brain is relaxed, is it not? Oh, I'm in the center of his will. I feel good. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have trials. But I'm talking about when we're having conflict and agitating passions. So here's what Paul says, or James says, and this is where he does the conclusion of what he said to the church in the first six verses of chapter 4. So, if you want to do a spiritual self-examination, submit to God. So the first thing I would suggest to you is you say to yourself, God, what do you think of this idea I'm about to do? Just ask him. Do you think he'll give you an answer? Yes. Or he might not give you the answer you think because you already know what the answer is. When that pastor told me he was this really great guy over here and he just did these things on the side, and he said to me, I know those aren't good. So what did his brain tell him? He already knew those areas weren't good. So the reality is, submit to God and resist who? Who's giving you the trials? Dirty face. He wants to neutralize it. He wants to pull you down. He wants to pull me down too. So therefore, resist the devil, and he will take a flying leap off a short pier. He will flee from you. Why? Because you've already started talking to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And the Greek says, immediately. He hears our faintest cry, does he not? And he runs, the Bible says, immediately to our aid. So as soon as we say, Lord, I'm feeling overwhelmed, or I'm being hit by a sexual temptation, or I'm being hit by something here monetary that's bigger than me, I'm feeling a coveting, I'm feeling jealousy, what's he going to do when we draw near to him? He's going to draw near to you and I and give us an answer. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, and stop being what? Double-minded. Oh, I'm this good person, really, I'm this really good, I do these things over here, but I'm really this great person, I'm really this great dad. No, you're not. Don't be double-minded. You're doing this stuff too. Stop being waffling back and forth. In fact, he says, now, what do you want to do? Lament and mourn and weep and go, you know what, God, I screwed up. I've been too busy trying to get what I want for me. And I'm not honoring you. What do you think would happen if every Christian got in line with this stuff? I think we'd have so much power in the church. We'd see people healed. We'd see conversions. We'd see so many things happen. We couldn't keep up with God. In fact, I think some of the third world countries that have nothing else but God are seeing the miracles because they're not caught up on all this. They haven't got any money. Or love of money. They haven't got anything. Carol said the first time she was over in Malawi, she said she had a water bottle. She threw it in the garbage at her hotel. The next morning she went out to get on the bus to go north, and here was a boy playing with her water bottle out in the street. That was his football. Her water bottle. Purify your hearts. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will crush you. What's it say? He'll lift you up. He'll go, yeah? So you asking for forgiveness? Yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Now let's move forward. You know what, family? 1 Thessalonians 5:22, you might want to write this down. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from even the appearance of evil. Even the appearance of evil. Okay, so let's wrap this up. You and I are all in the same boat. We're on the same boat. We're all dealing with temptations. We're all going through trials. We all have tribulations. We all have sin-induced situations. So what do you want to do about it? I think we fight for each other. We fight for each other. You know what? You and I are not in this alone. We're in this together. You know what the church does, though? We don't talk about it. We don't tell about any sin we've been in. We don't. And so the Roman Catholic Church got really smart. You just go to the priest and you just hide behind a curtain and you just tell him it and nobody else needs to know. And then you'll get penance. And once you've done your 15 Hail Marys, you're good to go. The Bible in James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. And you know what? There's nothing you're going to tell me that's going to surprise me, and probably there's nothing I'm going to tell you that would surprise you, because we're all trying to live this life and be honest before God. So here's what I want to leave with you. Here's our homework. Are you ready? So mark down on your sheet, homework. H-O-M-E-W-O-R-K. School hasn't even started, and the pastor's giving you homework. Galatians 6, 1. You won't be saying that after a few years. You will not be saying, yes, you will. You will be. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any what? Sin-induced trial, any trespass, you who are spiritual, what? Restore such as one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you what? Also be tempted. Do you know, when I've worked with these different pastors that have been in sexual sin, what do you think that does for my life? Whoa. Self-check. Be careful. Be aware. Note the subtleties. Notice that they were godly fellows in many ways. Be careful. Be smart. So we, what? We consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. It's not better than me, better than you. We're in this together. And bear one another's burdens. So as what? To fulfill the law of Christ. You know, AA has got it right. You know what AA does? They have what they call sponsors. And what do those sponsors do? Everybody gets a sponsor. So you go to an AA meeting, you have a buddy or you have a gal who comes alongside of you. What do? So they support you during the bad times and they celebrate the good. So when they support, how are they on duty from 9 to 5 or what? 24/7. You can call them anytime and they will pick up the phone and say, shut up, I'm in bed. Or will they say, you okay? What's going on? You need to talk? You want me to come over? You want to meet at Tim Horton? What do you need? Right off the get-go. What do you think the church needs to be doing? What do you need? How can I help? What are you going through? If we're doing that, where does Satan ever win? Because everything is exposed, everything's brought out into the open, Satan can't get a foothold, Satan can't neutralize any one of us, and we become part of a church triumphant like we've never been before. What do you think, family? I think we're moving forward. Let's keep doing it. We got a God to serve. We got a life to live. Let's live it to the best of our abilities. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege, again, as we come up to 21 years in this church. And for me, 37 years in a pulpit. To be able to stand before this family today and share with them the great truths from your word. Some words are not easy to digest. And some things that you give us, we fight. But Lord, we also recognize that nobody loves us more than you, and nobody has set things in place to help us to live our entire lives than you have. And so, Father, we're appealing to you. I'm appealing to you for each and every person in this room and all that are listening to this tape, that if they're struggling in sin-induced trials, that even this morning, they'll say, Lord, I'm tired. Yeah, I like what I'm doing. You know what? I know this is going to burn me in time. So I need to draw near to you. I pray, Father, that as people draw near to you this morning, that you'll draw near to them. That as they humble themselves, and if necessary, even have to cry and mourn, that you'll raise them up. And so, Lord, as your Holy Spirit broods over this church today, begin a new work in us. Because, Lord, I think there are things you want to do in our lives and through us as a church that we can't even fathom or imagine. Your power is only beginning. We got a whole community that needs Jesus Christ. And we've got to be on our game. So family, if you join with me in this prayer, just say, Lord, be real in me and use me powerfully for your honor and glory. And may I have great peace, because right now, Lord, my brain is all over the map. And I don't know sometimes if I'm coming or going. And family, be ready to be the supportive group that you need to be. People will share hesitantly with you, or they'll blurt out something. Wrap your arms around them and tell them that you're there with them through the long haul. Be also watchful that you also are not tempted. So, Lord, here we are. We give ourselves to you this day. Have your way. And, Lord, if there are ones here in this church that want to continue to fight you, well, Lord, we know that you're going to give them over, and there will be some deep things ahead, debasing things. But we pray, Lord, in your mercy, you'll draw them back to yourself. Thank you for loving us all. In your name we pray. Amen.
For our sins. And right now, Lord, we humble before you. And we want to say sorry. Sorry for the things that we've done wrong. And Holy Spirit, would you please guide us. Continue to be with us. Continue to walk with us. Speak to us each day. And guide us with your gentle hand every day. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever and ever. Amen.